We read today from the Gospel of Mark. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Others said, "He is Elijah." And still others claimed, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago." But when Herod heard this, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead." For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent out an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We are God's. We belong to the one who creates all things, in whose image all people are made. We are Christ's. He has loved us, healed us, called us, and anointed us with his Spirit. We belong to his death and resurrection and ministry. We are the Spirit's. We belong to the church, the body of Christ. God gives us the gifts of forgiveness, resurrection, and eternal life, and the gift of participating in the healing of the world by God's grace. As God's beloved, we devote ourselves to God and to God's will, wholly, joyfully, and with the help of Christ. Amen.
For the past several weeks, the focus story in the Old Testament has been the story of David. David's anointing as king. Last week, the scripture, the part of that story was David being asked to be king of both Israel and Judah. And we pick up the story again in our focus scripture this morning in the sixth chapter of 2 Samuel, the first five verses, and then verses 12b through 19, as David establishes his rule. We'll pay close attention to the story as we find it this morning. Once again, David assembled the select warriors of Israel, 30,000 strong. David and all the troops who were with him set out for Baalah, which is Kiriath-Jearim of Judah, to bring God's chest up from there, the chest that is called by the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, who sits enthroned on the winged creatures. They loaded God's chest on a new cart and carried it from Abinadab's house, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were driving the new cart. Uzzah was beside God's chest while Ahio was walking in front of it. Meanwhile, David and the entire house of Israel celebrated in the Lord's presence with all their strength, with songs, zithers, harps, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. So David went and brought God's chest up from Obed-Edom's house to David's city with celebration. Whenever those bearing the chest advanced 6 steps, David sacrificed an ox and a fatling calf. David dressed in a linen priestly vest, danced with all his strength before the Lord. This is how David and the entire house of Israel brought up the Lord's chest with shouts and trumpet blasts. As the Lord's chest entered David's city, Saul's daughter Michal was watching from a window. She saw King David jumping and dancing before the Lord, and she lost all respect for him. The Lord's chest was brought in and put in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered entirely burnt offerings in the Lord's presence, in addition to well-being sacrifices. When David finished offering the entirely burnt offerings and the well-being sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heavenly forces. He distributed food among all the people of Israel, to the whole crowd, male and female, each receiving a loaf of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. Then all the people went back to their homes. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. In case you were wondering, this is Snoopy, not King David, dancing before God. I looked for a picture or a drawing of King David dancing, and I found several, and none of them I thought did King David's dancing before God justice. So the one that came closest, it still looked like King David was trying to stomp on a bug. So I thought, Snoopy. We're all familiar with Snoopy's happy dance, are we not? We grew up with The Peanuts Gang by Charles Schulz. But I think this picture of Snoopy dancing is appropriate for this scripture because I believe that this is exactly how King David was dancing before God. Eugene Peterson's message, the message, paraphrases that David danced with great abandon before God. Snoopy is definitely dancing with great abandon in this drawing on the front of our bulletin cover this morning. With great joy, not caring what anybody else thinks about how they're dancing. That's how David danced before God. Now, of course, there were those who did not approve of David's dancing. Michal, for one. Michal was Saul's daughter, David's wife. She lost all respect for David, so we're told, when she saw him dancing with great abandon, with great joy. And if we think about it, we might not think too much of it ourselves, for we believe that you are supposed to carry yourself with some decorum as a leader. And there are times where that is definitely appropriate for any leader, for any of us. But David had good reason to dance. For he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It had been in Obed-Edom's house for 20 years. 20 years. It had sat probably in Obed-Edom's closet. You know how when you put something in your closet just to store for a little bit and you forget all about it and someday you're digging and you find it? There it is. Israel had kind of forgotten about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was central to the faith and practice of Israel. That was God's seat. The mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant was where God sat. The presence of God was there in that Ark. On top of that ark. And David went to retrieve it, to bring it back with great celebration to Jerusalem. For the people of Israel, as they united as one community, one nation, that ark represented the presence and power of God to all of Israel. Each Israelite knew that. Each Judahite knew that. So David danced with joy, pure joy. There are two different kinds of joy in my mind. There's the pure joy, and then there's tainted joy. We all know about tainted joy. We heard about some tainted joy in the gospel reading this morning. Herodias had it out for John the Baptist. She wanted John the Baptist's head. I think there was some joy when she was presented his head on a platter, don't you think? Tainted joy. Joy of jealousy. Joy with a little bit of revenge mixed in. We know about that joy. We've had tainted joy before. You know, like when a sports team that you really don't like, you're not playing, your favorite team isn't playing, but you really don't like that team, and when they lose, don't you have a little bit of joy in your heart from that? You don't care about the team that beat them. That's not important. You're just glad that that team beat them. That's tainted joy. When you tell somebody you're happy for them, when they've done something, you're joyful for them with something they've accomplished, but there's a little bit of jealousy there, that's tainted joy. But pure joy is that joy that you feel for something or for someone just because you should, just because you're really actually happy for them. No personal feelings involved. You rejoice with them. You celebrate. Without thinking about anything else, your whole body rejoices. Body, mind, and spirit with them. That's pure joy. That's the kind of joy that David danced with on that day. David's joy was in the presence and the power of God. And that's reason enough for anybody to dance, any of us to dance. To focus just upon that. Not thinking, well, God, you know, really, we're joyful that you're here, but you really could be doing a little more to help us out here. That's a little tainted, isn't it? But every once in a while to practice, to celebrate with pure joy the presence of God and God's power in our lives and in our world. Now, some of us are beyond our best dancing days. Even if we could dance and did dance, we'd probably feel it the next day, if not sooner. Yes, we can dance with our bodies, but we can dance with within our minds and within our spirits too, can't we? Not just physical dancing, but dancing of body, mind, and spirit. Always to celebrate and to dance with pure joy. J.M. Coetzee, author of The Lives of Animals, says this about, I believe, talking about dancing with body, mind, and spirit. He says this: to be full of being is to live as a body, soul. One name for the experience of full being is joy. To experience life, to celebrate life as full being, as a full being, is to be joyful, with pure joy. That's how we should dance, with pure joy, celebrating the presence and power of God in the world and in our lives, and the promise that it holds for the world in which we live and the life which we lead. The story of David tells that they had a big party. They celebrated big time when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to Jerusalem. Everybody got something to eat, was sent home with food to spare. They all went back to their homes after that party. But they went back with a changed outlook, a different frame of mind, secure in the knowledge that God's presence and power was there with them, as it continues to be with us today. Well, worship is our party this morning. We are here to party, to worship God. And we're not going to get bread and a raisin cake and a date cake. We are going to get ice cream and cookies. No matter what, we will leave this party to go home. Hopefully with a changed outlook and a different frame of mind this day. A reminder of who we are and whose we are, and the love that is shared with us abundantly by the God who loves us steadfastly. We should go from this place dancing with pure joy. The late poet Anne Sexton says this: "Saints have no moderation, nor do poets, just exuberance." Though we don't think of ourselves as that way, we are the saints of God, called to God's service, called to be exuberant with our faith and sharing that faith. So as we leave this place this day, as we leave this party today, let us go forth continuing to dance with abandon, with all our strength, with all our might, with pure joy. For as Charles Schulz says, through Snoopy, to live is to dance, and to dance is to live. Dance exuberantly, with pure joy. The presence and power of God is among us. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.